All righty, praise God. All righty, so now, New Covenant Faith Part 3, believing God to perform his word concerning Jesus. All righty, so now we're under the new covenant blood of Jesus Christ, right? So New Covenant Faith is about believing God to perform his word concerning Jesus. You understand that? So first you must believe who Jesus is. You must believe he's the Son of God. You must believe that he has all authority in heaven, earth, and under the earth. That means he's in charge of the angels. He's in charge of humanity. He's in charge of every demon and devil. He has authority over them. So praise God. With man, he allows us to make a choice to serve him or not. If man doesn't want to serve him, they don't have to. But they will go to the pit of hell with the devil because there's no other place to take our spirits. We are spirits that live in a body that have souls, which is a mind, will, and emotions. But is their choice. But for us, me and my house, we've chosen to serve Jesus, the Lord. Amen? All righty. So you must believe what he's accomplished on the cross for us, or for you and I. You must stand. That means standing on who we are in him. So we are somebody in Jesus. We're wholly acceptable and above reproach. And what we have received through his finished work. We receive abundance and blessings. All the blessings and promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. God supplied all of our needs by Christ Jesus, spiritually, physically, and financially. Glory to God. So you must believe that. So this is true new covenant faith. Anything beyond that is deception. True new covenant faith is about Jesus, him and him alone. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. All righty. Praise the Lord. As new covenant believers, our faith rests entirely on what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Okay? When someone claims to walk by faith but leaves Jesus out of it, they are not truly walking by faith at all. They're walking by assumption. Okay? All righty. So when the scriptures say, So whoever claims they're walking by faith but leaves Jesus out, they are not truly walking by faith at all. When the scripture says that the just shall live by faith, it means our entire life of faith is rooted in Christ Jesus. So the just shall live by faith, meaning in Jesus. Jesus is the implied subject of the New Testament. All righty? Mm-hmm. All righty. Glory to God. Let's move on. Section 1, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I never get tired of hearing the truth. When you get tired of hearing the truth, you're on the road to deception. I'll say it again. When you get tired of hearing the truth that's in the Bible, you're on the road to deception. All righty. John 4:6 says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So no one comes to God except through Jesus. That's the scriptures. All righty. In John 14:6, the Amplified, it says, I am the only way. Jesus said he's the only way. That's the way they translate it. To God. The real truth. Jesus is the real truth. You know, people talk about my truth or they truth. They're living their truth. Okay, well, this is the real truth. Jesus. The real truth and the real life.
Yes.
No one comes to the Father except through me, meaning Jesus. Not Larry, not your reverend, not preacher, through Jesus. Amen. So there is no other name but his name among men that people might be saved. And that is the name of Jesus. Jesus itself means Yeshua, Savior. That's what it means. Jesus is the Gentile name. We're Gentiles. It's understood that we're talking about Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua, the Messiah. Okay? Only people that don't live the word want to argue. We don't argue. This, we just believe it in our heart and it works for us, right? Salvation is the total package. Salvation doesn't just you're going to heaven and you're going to struggle a lot while you live here. That's not salvation. Salvation is you're going to go to heaven and you're going to be blessed a lot while you live godly.
Yeah.
Why ain't people blessed a lot while they live godly? Because they don't believe in the benefits they have in Christ Jesus. Right. Religion will steal your benefits from you. Religion is laced with the devil, and his job is to keep you from believing in all that Jesus has done for you. You can believe in a portion of it, but he don't want you to believe in the total package. Glory to God. Jesus is the total package. All right, so healing, deliverance, prosperity. It is total deliverance from the sin nature. Salvation is about deliverance from our sin nature. All right? Mm-hmm. That's what our salvation is about. It is total deliverance from the sin nature and the sin man, Satan, the devil. He's the sin man. Not the Sandman, the sin man. He is the demon. He is the entity that hates God and hates his creation. And so he does everything he can in his power to get people to live in sin. Why? So that they can break spiritual laws. Do you understand that?
Yes.
There is spiritual laws that govern our lives. The devil doesn't want you to know the spiritual laws. Because once you learn how to live within the boundary of the spiritual laws of God, the blessings fall on you. You stay within the boundaries of his blessing. All righty, making sense so far. Let's move on. Continuing on with section one, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the what?
The way.
He's the way, the truth, and the life. Glory to God. In 1 John 3:8, it reads, "Who is he who sins is of the devil." Ain't that what the Bible says? All righty. No rocket science here, right? We're not judging anyone. We're reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. He who sins is of the devil. Why? For the devil sinned from the beginning. Who sinned from the beginning?
The devil.
The devil did. We were not created to be sinners. We were born into sin and shaped into the iniquity of it because of what Adam did. Nevertheless, God made a way out. Jesus is the way out. Glory to God. He is the final Adam. This is our salvation. This is what salvation is about. Now, if this don't make you happy, you might not understand salvation and you might not be saved. This makes me happy. For this purpose, look what it says. For this purpose, the Son of God, meaning Jesus, was manifested. Why? Why was Jesus manifested? The scripture says to destroy the works of sin of the devil. That's why he was manifested. So if the devil's works are not being destroyed, well, you figure it out. So Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil in every area of a person's life. Every area, not some area, every area. Amen. This is New Covenant faith. And this is what we're believing God to perform his work concerning us. Well, how do I stop sinning? Well, it's easy. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Get in the Word, meditate on the Word, and what happens is a spiritual circumcision takes place in your heart.
Yes.
He made a covenant to give you a new heart, to write his laws on your heart. But you got to cooperate. You got to show up so he can write them on your heart. He'll do it, but you got to want them on your heart. A lot of people don't want to live right. They just want to have church and live in all kind of way and call it grace. Well, let's look at the Word. Look what it says in 1 John 3:7. It says, little children, let no one what? Deceive you. So how are we going to get, how does a person get deceived? He says, he who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Look at that word, practice. Key word there is practice. Well, it's football season. So we're back to the way I like to talk about this. We're on Team Jesus. Mm-hmm. So since we're on Team Jesus, we have robes of righteousness, or we have our jerseys of righteousness on. We're on Team Jesus. Well, if you're on Team Jesus, you got to show up to practice. You got to read your playbook, which is the Bible. You got to meditate on the scriptures so that you can live the scriptures. I'll say it again. You must meditate on the scriptures so you can live the scriptures. How do we sin? We sin through meditation. We meditated on our sin. We meditated on who we was going to sleep with back in the day. We meditated on that junk. Huh? We meditated about going to the party and turning up. We thought about how much fun it was going to be. We meditated our sin. Well, it's the same thing with righteousness. We must meditate on our righteousness. Get into the Word and meditate on living right. Glory to God. That's the scriptures. Meditate on it day and night. You got a temper problem? Meditate on it. See yourself in your imagination, someone coming at you, hitting your hot buttons and practicing not getting offended. Glory to God. Not getting upset. I'm teaching you how to do this. I know people want some other type of preaching, but this is how it works. Stick with the Word. You got to meditate on the Word. See what I'm saying? You got to open up the Bible and meditate on the scriptures of being holy, acceptable, and above reproach. You got to meditate on the scriptures of walking in the fruit of the spirits. See yourself walking in the fruits. So you're trying to do it from intellectual knowledge, but you got to get it in your heart and walk it out by faith first in your heart. Glory to God. Then you'll see the power of God show up in your heart and change your nature. You got to do your part. You got to show up to practice. Even sports players, they go over and they review the play. When they do it wrong, they bring them back and they say, now do this and this. And then they show them what you did wrong. And try this, do it this way. Mm-hmm. Huh? This ain't rocket science, is it? Mm-mm. No. All right, let's continue on. 1 John 3. We're going to look at, we're going to look at John 3, 16 through 21. I like this. We're still talking about Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Glory to God. I didn't set my timer. Man. Anyway. It says, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. Believes in him. Not just believe that, Jesus exists. No, believes in his works. We just talked about in the last scripture. Believe in what he came to do. Destroy the works of sin in you and me. See, he came to destroy the works of sin in me. And he came to destroy the works of sin in you. Mm-hmm. Salvation is personal. Amen. Glory to God. It says, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world that he should condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I meant to put that in red. I knew I'd look funny. How he who believes in him is not what? Condemned. These are even though it's not in red, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, he who believes in him, meaning Jesus, is not condemned. That's why the scripture says there's no condemnation to those that are in him, in Christ. Uh-huh. So if you're walking in Christ, walking in your righteousness, doing, practicing righteousness, meditating on your word day and night, you don't get condemned when you hear a preaching about something that go, oh, he judging me. No. You go, amen. You go, amen. There's no judgment here.
Right.
See, people, you preaching on me, preacher. No. I'm telling you what the words say. When you live in the word, you go, amen, glory to God. When you ain't, you go, oh, man, who are you talking about? Nobody. I'm just pointing out what Jesus said. But he who does not believe is condemned already.
Mm-hmm.
Is what?
Condemned
already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. The name, the power is in that name. The power of transformation, the power of healing, the power of deliverance, the power of his authority is in believing in that name. And this is the condemnation. What's the condemnation? Look what the scripture says. This is another Larry not coming up with some wonderful thing to try to preach to make people feel good emotionally. We gonna preach the scriptures at this church.
Amen.
I am proclaiming. That's what it means to preach. It means to proclaim the scriptures. To teach means to explain the scriptures so you can do the scriptures. That's what the teacher's job is to do. Not to give you a big old waterhead full of knowledge that ain't got nothing to do with the scriptures. Psychoanalytical stuff. We're gonna stick with the scriptures. It says, this is the condemnation. What's the condemnation? That light has come into the world. Who's the light? Jesus is the light of the world. So light has come into the world, and men love what? Darkness rather than light. They love darkness rather than Jesus. Huh? That's the sweet. Is not Jesus the light of the world?
Yes.
So they love darkness more than they love Jesus. When you don't want to live right, you love darkness more than you love Jesus. I don't care how you slice that thing. You can go to church, but if you ain't living right when you leave church, you are living in darkness. And it is my job as the pastor to teach you how to live in the light and stay in the light. Oh, I've been there already. Reverend wasn't saying much of anything because he wasn't pointing the scriptures out to me.
That's right.
Huh? I made a covenant. I was thinking about it. I made a covenant with the Lord. I'm going to teach the book. Lord, if you want them to know the book, he'll send them to me. People that want to know the book so they can live right for real. Look what it says here. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil.
Mm-hmm.
For everyone practicing evil. See that word? Practicing? I like, that's why I like the New King James in that. Practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light. Lest their deeds be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light. He that wants to live right, that's why I say that. He that wants to live right comes to the light. I don't run from Jesus. I run to Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to live right. That's why I live right. Because you can't live right unless you want to. My spiritual father, Brother Barry, used to always say this to me. Brother Larry. Yeah, Brother Larry. Brother Barry. Brother Larry, some people just don't want to live right, Brother Larry. Some people just don't want to live right. He's home with the, heaven now, and now I'm, you know, I'll be what, turning 59 tomorrow? I realize he wasn't lying to me. Living godly is a choice.
Idiot.
And you can live right if you want to because he helped you. Glory to God. I'll say it again. You can live right if you want to because he helped you. Some people don't want to be helped. They want to make excuses. Ain't no excuses when you got help to help you live godly.
Come on.
Now, we got to go through a long counseling session when you just walking in the flesh. This I'll just point the book to you. What part of the flesh you won't crucify in your life? There lies the problem. Have a nice day. Oh, well, Pastor, I want to have a meeting, talk about it. Do you want to live right? I'll show you how to live right. Well, they hurt me. Forgive. Forgiveness is a choice. Well, that'll hurt some people. We're going to talk about, you know, forgiveness is a choice. I've joined the club. I've been hurt too. I've been church hurt. Well, why you church hurt? You was looking at people and not Jesus. Why was you looking at people and not Jesus? Because what, they wasn't pointing you to Jesus. They was pointing you to measure up to men. And when you couldn't measure up to men, you know, they let you down. Why? Because we're not supposed to look up to men. We're supposed to look to Jesus. Hebrews 12, 2, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And if we all looking at Jesus, we ain't looking at each other. Huh? If everybody looking up at Jesus, ain't no time to be looking at other people, is it?
No.
Glory to God. And you will be conformed in his image as you keep focusing on him.
Yeah.
So that's why folks church hurt. Anyway. Those who want to live right come to the light. Those who don't, don't. You need a theologian to complicate that thing and make that thing long and drawn out. People came to Jesus and Jesus said, go and sin no more. What part of that don't folk understand? You don't need a bunch of cum laudes and to figure that out. Summas and magnum cum laudes. Go and sin no more. So let's not complicate that. We're here because we want to live right in the light of truth.
Yes.
Ain't that why we're here to church today?
Man.
We're not here for entertainment.
No.
We're here to worship and praise God. Glory to God. Oh, glory. I felt this. This is by the Holy Spirit. We're not here for entertainment. We're here for containment, to be contained in the truth. Glory to God. That came from the Holy Ghost. We're here for containment, to be contained in the light of the gospel, to be contained in the kingdom of godly living, to stay within the boundary. See, that's the containment of living godly. If you want to stay living godly, you got to be contained in that atmosphere where they're teaching you how to do it. The how to matters. Am I lying? I'm telling you, don't the how to matters?
Yes.
What's the purpose of having a puzzle and you ain't got the picture of the box top? Well, you have a heck of a time putting that puzzle together because you can't see what it looked like.
Come on.
It's hard for you to put your life together in Jesus if they're not showing you who you look like in Jesus. If they're not opening up the book and showing you who you look like in Jesus,
yes.
You'll never see who you are in Jesus.
No.
And religion is designed to keep you from seeing who you are in Jesus. Okay, glory to God. I know I'm teaching good. It ain't me, it's the Holy Ghost. Because we want to live holy and righteous. That's why we're here. And because we want to be free from sin and the destructive powers of Satan. That's it. That's why we fellowship. That's why we read our Bible. That's why we listen to good preaching and teaching that teaches us how to do it. Stuff to tell us what's right and what's wrong, and I don't want to hear nobody preaching on and preaching at me and all that stuff. If Reverend can't tell you how to do it, Reverend ain't doing it. He's just reading something he went to school and learned how to preach to your emotions real good. Well, you go home, you don't know how to do it. That's why you get no results. Glory to God. Anything beyond that is deception. If you're not coming to live godly, you're going to church for any other reason but to live holy and righteous and to praise God for his goodness and to stay within the boundaries, meaning the containment of godly living, you're going for the wrong reasons. Oh, I'm going for the choir. Wrong reason. I'm going because Reverend preached real good. Wrong reason. I'm going for Jesus so I can live holy and righteous. Right reason. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, I'm going because they got a lot of people there. Wrong reason. Last I checked, when they went into the promised land, there was 12 spies. The majority report caused them to not go into the promised land. The majority is not always right. It was the minority that went into the promised land. But they had to wait for all the people to die, anyway. So I've learned not to follow the majority. Crowds don't mean nothing. I was meditating on that, how all these people, the woman that touched the hem of his garment, all them people touching on him and thronging on him, not near one of them was touching him to receive anything from him. Glory to God, that's under the Holy Ghost. Near one of them was touching him to receive something from him. She came and touched him to receive something from him. See, a lot of people going places, but they ain't going to receive nothing from the Lord. Church was good today. What you learned? Well, how did it improve your life? What scriptures that you was built up in your spirit when you left? What scriptures you going to go home and meditate on? Okay. Deception. Psalms 103, 5, section 2. We're at section 2. Look what it says here. Psalms 103, 1 through 5 says, blessed and affectionately praised be the Lord, O my soul. And look what he says here. Glory to God. And what? All, O my soul, and all is deep within me. This is amplified. Mm-hmm. It says, bless his holy name. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord. Did you see that? Mm-hmm. I said, praise the Lord. Let me give you a secret. If you can't affectionately praise the Lord in your private time, your public worship is worthless to God.
Come on.
You heard what I said.
Come on.
It is worthless to God because you're going to be seen. No different than a person praying to be seen. True worship and prayer, all that's done behind the scene. Now, ain't nothing wrong with corporate worship. All right, look what it says here, continuing on. To bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not any of his benefits. Benefits? And that's what we were talking about the other Sunday. He daily loadeth us with business. Oh, I got it this time. In Psalm 68:19, that's what we were trying to find. 68:19, it says, bless be the Lord. Who daily, look at this,
daily
loads us with benefits. Yes, man, beep, beep, just back the truck up, man. Just let him daily load you up with some stuff, right. Doggone it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He daily, oh man, daily, every day. Oh, glory. Glory to God. I get loaded with benefits. He's my benefit package.
Yes, he is.
Because we're his benefactors. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hey. God is our salvation. Just think about that. That's deliverance, healing, prosperity. Glory to God. Psalms 82:19 in AMP says, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord who bears our burdens daily. I was meditating on this too. I liked it. It says, who bears our burdens daily. So he takes the burdens off of us and loads us with benefits. Glory to God. I don't care which version. I like them both, doggone it. I like them both. He bears our burdens. What's that? All of our problems and concerns, we cast them on him. Glory to God. And he daily loads us with benefits. Huh? Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. God is our salvation. Selah. So if this don't make you happy, you ain't saved. I had to put that there so people can see that. If that don't make you happy, you ain't saved. You churchy. Scriptures make me happy. Look at this. Who forgives all? Remember we talked about that? Did I say all?
All.
Okay. Your sins. And heals some of your diseases.
All.
You sure that don't say some?
Nope.
Scripture says some.
All.
I thought the scripture says some of our diseases.
Three letters, A-L-L.
Oh, okay. It takes a theologian to take that word and say he don't heal all your diseases. It's right there in the Bible. All means all. You need a theologian to talk you out of what that just said. All your diseases. He says in verse number 4, the scripture says, who redeems your life from the pit. meaning of hell, who crowns you, I like this, this is why I went to this scripture, lavishly with loving kindness. Don't you want to be crowned lavishly? He just lavishes you with love. Glory to God. That's the God we serve. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. With loving kindness and tender mercy.
Yes, Lord.
I don't care what mess you got. He got mercy for your mess. Glory to God. It don't matter. It don't matter. It don't matter. He got mercy for your mess. He got mercy for your financial mess. He's got mercy for your family mess. He got mercy for whatever mess you got, doggone it. He going to fix it for you if you just come and let Jesus do it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. New King James, it says here, he says, who satisfy your years with good things. The New King James says your mouth. He satisfies your mouth with good things. Why? So that your youth will be renewed like an eagle's, or soaring like an eagle. Glory to God. You get strong again. Glory to God. That old broken down, decrepit body start getting strong, man. Wasn't Joshua and Caleb? They were strong going into the promised land. Look, you know, you're not too old to take this mountain.
Hallelujah.
We're not too old to take this mountain that God asked us to take. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? That's the Bible, y'all. You got to start meditating on that and believing that. Mm-hmm. He'll give you good things to eat. He'll tell you what to eat and what not to eat. Glory to God. If you obey him, you're going to get strong. Glory to God. Some stuff you just got to cooperate in the natural. Well, people don't like folks to talk about their food. I'd be at work, you know, getting all my healthy stuff. People are like, you really serious about this? Yeah. I was talking to someone about this. It was real simple. I said, I see it this way. You know, I said, God said, don't eat this tree. You can eat this tree. If you eat this tree, you're going to die. If you eat this tree, any other tree, you're going to be all right. I said, it's as simple as obeying the simple scriptures. Mm-hmm. If I eat good food, I'm going to be healthy. If I eat bad food, I'm going to be unhealthy. It's not rocket science. It's a choice. Well, what about, I can't stop doing it. You don't want to stop. And if you can't stop, you got a demon or something, man. You know, you need some help. And Jesus will help you. Mm-hmm. Start praying. What I did is I started praying the scriptures. I didn't bring it. I started praying that, Lord, I thank you that I eat healthy foods and unhealthy foods only. I was saying those scriptures and meditating that in my meditating that over my body. And as I was meditating that, God just began to start changing. The power of God began to change my taste buds. Mm-hmm. Foods that I didn't like the way they taste started tasting good to me. Mm-hmm. And foods that I don't like, so I like, man, that's nasty. You start eating fresh foods again. You know, some people don't even know how good fresh foods are because they've been eating junk so long. Mm-hmm. Now, don't feel bad about it. The devil's system is to program people to eat junk so that they die early or they die sickly, you know, and they keep them dependent on medication so that you can work like a Hebrew slave for Pharaoh. That's his system. All righty. Psalms 103:7, continual verse 6, it says, now let's look at how in section 2 is salvation, benefits, recompense, and great reward. I'm sorry I didn't say that. This is what we're discussing right now. So now let's look at the recompense and reward scriptures. Amen? So in Psalms 103:6-7, it says, the Lord executes what? Righteousness and justice for all oppressed. Oppressed by who? By men and demons influenced by them. Demons influence people, the way they think, the way they feel. There's a system of this world that shapes the way people think and the way they feel. Listen to how the world talks now. And everybody in a lot of places are taking on the world's way of doing things in the church.
Yeah.
Instead of teaching you the Bible, they counsel you and have you process yourself and all that junk. Yeah, I call it what it is. It's called junk. That ain't what the Bible, that ain't what Jesus did. That ain't what Jesus did. I am, you know, glory to God. I mean, you get delivered by acknowledging you need deliverance. You know, demons was in the Bible. People were scared to say, you know, you might have a demon. You might have a spirit. Sometimes you can have a spirit that's causing sicknesses and disease in your body and not even know it and die. Yeah. Doctor can't figure out what the problem is. Could be some spiritual influences behind that. But see, we live in a time where people don't believe in the supernatural. Well, yeah, they do. A lot of people believe in the supernatural. They don't believe in the supernatural. They don't believe in Jesus's power to heal. Now go figure that one out. You got all intellectual faith. no heart faith in the miracle working power of Jesus. I say it again, no heart faith in the miracle working power of Jesus. Mm-hmm. All righty. Verse 7 says, he made known his ways. Verse 7 says, he made known his ways of righteousness and justice. So God is a God of righteousness and justice to Moses, his acts. What is that? His miracle working power. How did God deliver them from Egypt? Through miracle working power. The only way people can get delivered from the world system is through miracle working power of Jesus, of God. People don't believe in that no more. You know why? Because they can't figure out how. You ain't supposed to figure out how. You're supposed to just believe in it.
Yeah.
I love saying this. I have no idea how Jesus turned water into wine, but I believe he did it. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how he took 5 fish and 2 loaves of bread and fed 5,000. I don't know how he did that. I believe he did, though. There's nowhere in the Bible says for me to try to figure out how the word works. The Bible tells me to believe it and obey it. There's only two things the Bible asks me to do for the word. It says to believe it and obey it. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. That's the Bible, man. Believe only. What do I do? Keep living. Live godly and believe only. That's all we're required to do. Live godly and believe only, and you'll see supernatural things happen in your life. You don't try to make it happen. You just let it happen because you're living a holy and righteous lifestyle. Things is going to start happening for your life. All righty, I'm teaching real good today.
Yes,
I know people want to hear some, I am not called to do that. This is speaking of how people were delivered from Egypt, meaning I'm talking about Moses and the miracle working power. They saw his acts, but Moses knew his ways. He understood what got God to move supernaturally. And that is the kingdom message. You understand what I just said? The reason Jesus preached the kingdom is what ushers in the power of God in people's lives to change it forever. The kingdom message. Kingdom message comes with principles and precepts of the kingdom that you must apply to get results of God moving in your life. Praise the Lord. So now, under the new covenant, let me go back and talk about this a little bit more. So God showed Moses the principles, his ways that caused supernatural power to move. But the people experienced the acts of the miracle working power. So he's speaking of how God delivered them from Egypt and brought them into the promised land. And this is important, what we're going to talk about as we move into the third section and the teaching next week. To get into the promises we have in Jesus, we're going to have to believe in the supernatural power of God. And we're going to have to believe that just like they had a promised land rest, Jesus is our promised land rest. There remains a rest for some. See, there remains a rest. Our rest is in Christ Jesus. And so under the new covenant, Jesus is our promised land rest. It is our faith in what God has provided for us in Jesus that brings us into the promises of God, or brings us into the promised land rest of God. Am I making sense to you?
Yeah.
So when you believe in what Jesus has done for you, you enter into the promises of God for you. I'm going to say it again. When you believe in what Jesus has done for you, you enter into the promises of God for you. The promises of God are, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Do you understand this? Well, you know, there's dreams and visions that God put in your heart. This just came to me. You are God's dream seed.
Mm-hmm.
When he created you, you are his dream seed. Inside of you is his dream, which is a seed in the earth to plant a new heaven and a new earth. Glory to God. So when you walk out his divine purpose and plan for your life, miracles begin to happen and follow after you. You don't, listen, we don't follow miracles. Miracles follow us. Glory to God. Why? Because we're operating in the Father's divine plan and purpose for our life. So when we're operating in the Father's plan and purpose for our life, miracles follow us.
Yes.
Things begin to happen for us as we step out, just like they went into the promised land. But you got to be strong and very courageous. Why? Because he's going to put you in front of mountains. He's going to put you in front of giant things. He's going to put you in front of things to do things that you ain't got an education to do. Do you understand this? This is God's MO. He always causes people that don't have the ability spiritually, or not spiritually, physically, or intellectually, or financially. We have the power to do it spiritually. Why? Because the God of heaven backs us up to do stuff supernaturally. He enforces his will in the earth through a person that's willing to step out by faith and trusting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not smart enough to do what you're asking me to do. God's like, I didn't call you because you're smart. I called you for your faith.
Woo.
Do you understand that? He needs your faith so he can move. Glory to God. I'm going to say it again. He needs your faith so he can move. God needs our faith. And when you find a person that's got faith, that's when you start seeing great things happen. All righty. So, all right, let's move on. I haven't talked enough on that. So now let's look at continue to look at recompense and reward scriptures. Salvation benefits. So in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Matthew 11, 28, 30 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Look what he says. I will give you rest. See, Jesus is our promised land rest. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Hey, Satabakishit. He says, take my yoke upon you. There's that. See, take his yoke upon you and learn from me.
Mm-hmm.
Not from Brother Larry. He's talking about from Jesus.
Yes.
So Jesus wants to start teaching you things through the Holy Spirit, revealing things to you and teaching you spiritual principles and precepts and mysteries of the kingdom and so that you can see things happen for you supernaturally. Glory to God. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So the people that's going to come, they come in because they want to learn about Jesus and grow. And they're going to be, they have to be honest and humble. I'm still talking about humility. You have to admit that, hey, man, what I've been doing ain't been working all these years.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Mm. Come on, man. Let's stop all this. Okay. All right, let's move on. For my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Light. So Jesus is our rest.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It takes a humble person to admit something, that they need help and that they need Jesus. They need God. It takes humility. It takes boldness. Matthew 11, 28, 30, and Amplified says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavily burdened. Look what it says. By what?
By religious
rituals that provide no peace.
Man, I'm
at peace. That's why I ain't chasing no word. And then I don't mind I'm minding my heavenly business. You see, when you're at peace, you don't worry about what other people are doing. People will see your peace before they see anything else. And I will give you rest. Look what he says. Refreshing your souls with salvation. I like that. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So what they used to do is they used to yoke up a small or an oxen with a bigger oxen, more experience, and yoke them up, and it would teach them how to tread. Right? Because at some point that older oxen was going to leave, and now you have to, you know, like an apprentice, you got to leave someone to continue on with the work. So Jesus was like, learn of his ministry. It's his ministry, not your ministry. That's the first thing that he got me to see. Larry, this is not your ministry. This is my ministry. You just need to teach people about me and I do the work. Man, once I got that, I'm at peace. I don't get upset. See, that's why I always say people that talk about my ministry, it's because it's about you still.
Mm.
What finally put the devil's nail in the coffin for me was when Jesus spoke to me and said, do this for me. So I get up and do everything for Jesus now. This is scriptures. Do everything as unto the Lord.
Yes.
And for the Lord. Amen. Oh, it's so refreshing to not be trying to be known and seen. I'm happy because I ain't doing it for me. It's very peaceful. Praise God. We got peace in our house too. We were talking about that. We want nobody in our house that's going to destroy our peace. All righty. So he says, follow me as my disciples. So I have there, open up your hearts and the Holy Spirit will teach you Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit's job, is to teach you Jesus, build you up in him. The Holy Spirit confirms the work and preaching of Jesus. Mm-hmm. All righty. He says, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest. Look at this. Renewal, blessed quiet for your souls. I was talking to somebody about this. I was talking about how I truly enjoy being to myself. There's a peace I get. I don't know if I was. It's just I'm happy. I like people. I enjoy, you know, associating with people. But my happiness is in the presence of the Lord, spending time with him.
Yeah.
That's where I find my greatest joy. All righty. For your souls. For my yoke is easy. Look at this. To bear, and my burden is light. Praise God. Do not, look what it says in Hebrews 10:35-39. It says, do not therefore fling away your what? Fearless confidence. For it has glorious and great reward. Now we're talking about the reward. Your confidence in what? In Jesus. In God performing his word concerning Jesus. That's what we believe, y'all. We believe for God to perform his word concerning what Jesus has done for us and what we have. That's when the miracle working power show up. When you're going and you're reading and you believe in God for the things that Jesus has done for you. Does that make sense? Verse 6 says, and you have need of patience. What's that? To bear up under difficult circumstances. Now, this is powerful. Without compromise. Mm. You see that? It's easy to compromise for numbers. But to not compromise takes integrity. Mm. It takes discipline. And really, to be honest, it takes doing what God told you to do and not what other people think you should do. You understand? It does. It takes inner strength. But, you know, my point now is like, it's easy. I've made a covenant. I'm only going to do what you told me to do. I'm just going to preach the book about Jesus. That's why, you know, I don't have all that intellectual jargon to give pretty speeches and stuff like that. And great, wonderful sermons that people want to hear. That's he didn't call me to do that. All righty. All right, let's just move on from that. That's what I wanted to see. All right, look at Hebrews 10:23 in the New King James. It says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. King James says our faith. So without wavering, for he who promises faithful. So God is going to come through for you. What is our hope? Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our blessed hope. So God's going to come through for you in Jesus' name. Hebrews 10:23 in the AMP says, but let us seize and hold tightly the confession of hope. Mm-hmm. What's our confession? Jesus is our hope when there seems to be no hope. Mm-hmm. For he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. Do you understand that? So we're believing God to perform his word concerning Jesus. Well, we saw that God so loved the world, he gave Jesus, that whosoever believes in him, Jesus is the will of God. What's the will of God for you? Jesus. Everything he's done for you is the God's will for you. I'll say it again. Everything that Jesus has done for you on that cross, death, burial, and resurrection, and blood sprinkling on the mercy seat is the will of God for you. Everything. He wants you to experience it now. But you got to have faith in it, and you have to go where people are teaching it. So that you can believe it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word concerning Jesus. Or you won't have faith in Jesus. All right, so last Sunday we talked about how faith is a spiritual warfare, and I want to close out by picking up on that, okay? So section 3, we want to talk about guarding your heart to keep your faith. So you got to guard your heart. Your heart is the garden of the Lord, and you got to keep the devil out the garden. Where's the garden of Eden at? The garden of Eden now is in your heart. Jesus is the tree of life. So you got to hold on to Jesus, who is the tree of life, and guard your heart from the enemy. Is that making sense to you? So faith is active spiritual warfare where believers must aggressively, this is important, fight to take possession of and hold on to what God has provided us in Jesus Christ. And we'll teach about this more next week. Okay, this aggressiveness is an inner stance we take. I talked about it. It is peaceful violence. You hold your peace, and there's a spiritual violence that takes place supernaturally. Angels begin to fight for you, but you got to hold your peace. So as you hold your peace, violence is taking place for you to bring God's word to pass for you. So this is one of the most important, this is one of the most misunderstood things in Christianity. I didn't finish the way that said, but you got what I'm trying to say. So in 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Look what it says. Lay hold unto eternal life, to which where there's also called to have confession, a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So you say you believe in Jesus, you confess, right? Mm-hmm. So the word there where it says lay hold, in the Greek it means lambano. That's what it says in the Greek. But what it means is to grab hold of, implying not to let it go. Now, this here is going to hit your spirit like it hit mine. In Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us seize. Did you see that? Like a law enforcement seizes property. They had to go dispose the people that was in the promised land. They had to go seize their promised land. You have to seize your promises. I promised you healing, but you got to seize it in your heart. Glory to God. You lay hold to it and you grab it and you don't turn loose your healing from your heart. He's promised to get you out of your financial mess. You lay hold to it with the scripture. There's a scripture that you lay hold to and you seize it with that word, because that word is what you stand on. That word is what you use to rebuke the devil in your life. The word is what you use to rebuke the mountains in your life. Glory to God. You understand what I'm saying? But you got to lay hold to that thing. It's a title deed. You got to do it. You got to meditate on it in the morning. You got to look at that scripture. Think about it throughout the day. Hold your peace. Meditate on it. What do you do? You're seizing your promises in God. And you're not taking no for an answer, because the devil trying to talk you out of it. That's what it means to guard your heart and fight for it. Remember Jehovah Shammah? Stand your ground. People might not think what we're doing here is worth anything, but this is our assignment, and we stand here. Jehovah Shammah, Jesus is here.
Glory.
And we ain't moving. He's going to come through. You understand this? Glory to God. In that name, Jesus is Shammah. Because in his name is all the names of the attributes and the names of God. So when you say in the name of Jesus, you stand your ground. Shammah's here. Hold tightly the confession of faith in who Jesus is. He is Lord of lords. He is King of kings, and he is your Lord. That means you're his subject. You're under his lordship. He is your king. He is your master. He is your good shepherd. You shall not want.
Lord.
Do you understand that? You hold fast to it without wavering, and he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. Who's his word? Jesus is his word. He's the living word of God. So when you hold on to Jesus, you're holding on to the word of God that became flesh, that's sitting on the right hand of the Father. Man. Hallelujah. So the enemy will try to break into your heart, try to get into your garden of your heart, to get you to stop believing in Jesus. But you have to keep believing the promises that you have in God in Christ Jesus, no matter what you are feeling or seeing. The good fight of faith. You have to fight the good fight of faith to continue to believe in spite of all the things that look completely opposite of what the Word of God says you have and you are. Amen. We stand trusting and believing God's Word. Angels are fighting on our behalf. God is moving and causing things to happen in the invisible so that they manifest in your physical life, in your physical.
Yes.
Amen. You must resist doubt like you resist sin. The reason people struggle is because they don't know how they've never resisted sin yet. See, I know how to resist sin. And if I have to resist doubt the same way, doubt in trouble, because I resist sin. Mm-hmm. And if I have to resist doubt the same way I resist sin, I win, baby, because I know how to resist sin. You understand this? This is good stuff here, man. If you resist doubt, disbelief, sickness, and diseases like you resist sin, you're going to win. But see, people don't resist sin. Why is that so important? Because he's redeemed me from sin.
Yes.
He's redeemed me from the curse of the law that was a product of sin. So if I'm resisting sin in my life, I am practicing my righteousness. Sickness, disease, death, all that has no legal right in me because I'm the body of Christ Jesus and his body ain't sick. You have to bind the thoughts and the feelings of the enemy trying to get you to disbelieve God. You got to resist them. You have to say it is so according to the word. Just like Jesus dealt with it, he said, it is written. It is written, I'm holy, except on the above reports. It is written, Galatians 3:13, by his stripes that's First Peter. By his stripes I was healed. It is written. It is written. He has redeemed me from the curse of the law, having become a curse for me. It is written. Speak to it. Stand. Lambano it. Seize it. Glory to God. Take your promises. These mountains and oppositions will bow to the lordship of Jesus Christ over your life when you stand in the power of Jesus' might. Ephesians 3:10 and 20. Meditate on that next week. Amen?
Amen.
All righty. Again, don't forget that we have the teachings up there. We're going to be on the website. This is going to be ready for you. Don't forget to take a look at it. Amen. Glory to God. I preached good today and with Jesus's help.
Amen.
Amen. I love you. I love you. I love you. Father God, thank you for this word. Let it get to who it needs to be gotten to. Father God, I bind every demon and devil from hell that's trying to stop, block, or hindering the word to get to the people that it's ordained for. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.